Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. A fitting choice for a film festival in hockey's birthplace, and at a moment when hockey culture itself is a heated topic. The Kingston Canadian Film Festival is bookended this year by two unique Canadian hockey stories. The festival opens with Youngblood, a powerful reimagining of the classic 80s drama, centering the experience of a young black hockey player navigating the road to the NHL, and closes with a special screening of the final episode of Heated Rivalry, followed by a panel discussion exploring its cultural impact. Festival director Mark Garnis sat down with CFRC to talk about how the festival came to be framed by hockey stories this year, and how, despite appearances, it wasn't part of a grand thematic plan.
I would say these are fitting choices for a film festival in Kingston, hockey's birthplace. I was wondering if you could, speak to the choice to bookend the festival with two Canadian hockey stories.
Yeah, it was definitely not intentional. It was an organic thing. I don't even know if we've ever played a hockey. We actually played Hubert Davis's previous documentary that we played. I think it was in 2018. It was called Black Ice. So it was a documentary on black hockey players through the years, and it was quite good. So that's the only hockey film that I think we've played during my 12 years with the festival. And it's quintessentially Canadian, and I think if there was a great hockey film that we could play every year, we would. But I think the reality is a lot of sports films are not always great, and so I think the fact that we get to play Youngblood, which is one of the top Canadian films of the year, it's really well done. It's a remake of the classic, and we get to play opening night. It just feels like it almost feels a little tongue in cheek, but it's like it's a great quintessentially Canadian film. And And then, you were mentioning that it was bookended by another hockey program or show. We're playing Heated Rivalry. We're playing the final episode called The Cottage, which is obviously available for anybody that wants to see it online. You know, it's been playing for a while now. But we have some talent coming in that are going to talk about it afterwards. And so there'll be a discussion about the show and its impact that it's making. Like, I feel like it's, you know, I don't know if it's public information, but I think they're going to be on Saturday Night Live the same weekend as KCFF. It's huge. And so I think for us to embrace that and have some people at the festival who can speak to that show's success is, I think it's important for us to acknowledge the impact that this show is making on, because KCFF is more than just movies. You know, we have other TV series that we're highlighting at this festival and at previous ones as well. So it is more, you know, screen content. Then we actually have a third hockey film in there too, which was, it's about the London Knights. It's called Team of the Century. It's by Annie Stewart, she might be around 20 now, give or take, but she was part of the first cohort of the 18mm program that KCFF runs. So that's our year-round youth filmmaking program. So it was only a couple years ago that she was just making a short film, and I think had not gone off to film school, but since then has gone off to film school and has actually now made a feature documentary that we're playing at a festival, and it's about the London Knights hockey team. So we have hockey spread out throughout the entire festival this year. So
interest in the hockey programming has been especially strong, particularly for Heated Rivalry. Demand was so high that the screening had to be moved to a larger theater after quickly selling out its original venue.
I was wondering if you could speak to kind of where the idea came from and how it kind of came together, because I know it came out quite late at the end of last year, and then being able to get a producer from the show, I feel like that was probably pretty big.
Yeah, like it. I think anybody that has anything to do with the show right now is just in such high demand. So I think when we started talking about doing something with the show, so Crave is a supporter of the festival, so we do work with Crave. So I think we had that conversation or that idea going for a while, whether or not we might be able to do something with the show. And I don't know if we can actually get anyone from the show. So I think we aimed high and we were like, oh, could we actually get the stars of the show when we first started thinking about it? And then, you know, as I just mentioned, I think they're doing things like Saturday Night Live now, so they're untouchable right now. But then it's even like, I think, made its way through. We're trying to get Jacob Tierney, who's Canadian film director who we've worked with in the past, and I believe we've had him to the festival in the early years, but he's just super high demand, and I think they're all also getting ready to make the second season. So but we were fortunate enough to get a producer from the show, Lori Fishberg. So she'll be coming over and she'll have, you know, she'll be able to answer any questions about kind of behind the scenes making of the show. I think, you know, people just have a general curiosity because it did come on so strong and has gotten so huge, you know, so she'll, I think, be able to answer a lot of those questions that people just have about the crazy trajectory that the show's on. And then we have Elamine Abdel Mahmoud, who's comes to the festival every year. He does a lot of moderating for us, but he's actually going to be on the panel. And he's more just like a pop culture kind of enthusiast and very well spoken. And I personally noticed that his Instagram feed for the last 2 months has just been very heated rivalry based. So we have him on the panel, and Liz Duff, who's a podcaster. She's, you know, would be like a pop culture expert as well. And I think her podcast is called Late Night Scrolling, but very much about like Canadian film and TV, and very much about heated rivalry right now too. So yeah, I guess I'd like to say that we have like a couple academics on the panel as well. So it's going to be led by Liz Duff, she's going to be the moderator, and it'll be just like an in conversation event after the screening for probably 20-30 minutes, and then we'll turn questions over to the audience. And I think we're keeping a few surprises up our sleeve too. So I think there's rumors that there might be some heated rivalry merch there and stuff like that. So yeah, it's one of those things when like the thing you're seeing on screen is very easily available. Because, you know, earlier in this conversation, I said like a lot of the majority of what you're seeing at KCFF, it's a very rare chance to see it sometimes in general, but definitely in a movie theater. But now I'm just telling everyone, obviously, if you don't already know this, Heated Rivalry is very available on Crave right now to watch, and most people I think have probably like binge watched it many times. But to see the interest in it is crazy. We started it at the Baby Grand and it sold out in like an hour, and so now we've moved it up to the Regina Rosen Theater at the Grand, which is 775 seats, and we've half sold it out in a day. So it's, to me, it's kind of crazy how much interest there is in this show. So I guess that just speaks to its importance right now. And I think people's general curiosity in the show and knowing, I think, that they can talk to some people that had a hand in the making of it is really cool to see that people are showing up in such large numbers for it.
All of this arrives at a complicated moment for the sport itself. KCFF's decision to showcase stories about players from marginalized communities offers both a commentary and a refreshing lens.
I guess I wish I could have said we curated this back in the summer when we were planning at the festival, but it has happened very organically. So I wish I had a better answer for that, where this is part of like some big plan. Our 2026 anniversary was going to be all about hockey and embracing like the moment. But, I think the nice thing about the films that we're showing, Heated Rivalry, Youngblood, is that like they're showing hockey through a different lens. And so I guess, to be honest with you, when we first thought about the idea that hockey might be a theme at the festival, there were some like things happening that were not good, you know? Mm-hmm. So if you turn back the clocks to, I don't know if it's a full year from now, but like when the trials were happening with the Canadian junior team, and we're like, and we were talking, I think we knew Youngblood was coming out. We're like, oh, could hockey be a theme at the festival? We're like, this is not timely right now at all to be like celebrating hockey during these trials that are happening for like these awful, awful, awful things that have happened in Canadian junior hockey. So not to bring things down, but like that was a conversation mm-hmm. that we had. And we're like, well, you know, I don't think we should go out of our way to be celebrating hockey this year. But then when we actually saw Young Blood and how powerful it was in a story of a black hockey player, and you know, and then with the heated rivalry craze and showing two queer hockey players and their story as well, it's like, okay, this has come about organically and feels right for us to embrace. And then obviously within Kingston, who, you know, we're the home of hockey, and it felt, I think once we saw the full package of films that we could put on offer, and it felt appropriate to embrace it. But you know, it's hockey's, I think that's why it's important to be showing these films and the show that we are, is because it shows hockey through a different lens, which is you know, it's refreshing, because that's not always the story that we hear about hockey in the headlines.
Once again, that was Festival Director Mark Garness on this year's opening and closing films for KCFF 2026. For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, this has been Christina Laurie.
Thank you, Chris. Hello, you are listening to your Queen's Campus Beat here on CFRC 101.9 FM or online at cfrc.ca. Health authorities are alerting students and residents following a confirmed case of measles in the Kingston area. Southeast Public Health has identified three locations where potential exposure may have occurred between February 9th and February 13th, including Queen's University's Kingston Hall at 103 Stewart Street on Tuesday, February 10th, from 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Additional exposure sites were Good Life Fitness at 64 Barrack Street and the Metro Grocery Store at 310 Berry Street. Public health officials stress that measles is highly contagious, and individuals exposed should check their vaccination records, monitor for symptoms like fever, rash, and conjunctivitis, and isolate if necessary. Additionally, seek medical attention. Students unsure of their immunization status are advised to consult health services or their healthcare provider promptly. On campus, Queen's Relay for Life is ramping up for its 20th anniversary fundraising campaign. The Relay, a 12-hour walkathon supporting the Canadian Cancer Society, is scheduled for March 20th in the Queen's Athletic and Recreation Center, the ARC. This year's organizers have an ambitious 170,000 fundraising goal, with more than 550 participants already registered, and over $65,000 already raised ahead of the event. Funds raised support cancer research and services for survivors and families in Kingston and beyond. Past events have involved hundreds of students, faculty, and community partners. In recent Queen's faculty, staff, and employee news, recent internal reporting from Queen's University shows that just over half of all employees, around 51%, participated in the university's latest Employee Experiences Survey, conducted in early 2026. The survey, administered by the external research firm Metrics at Work, was designed to measure faculty and staff engagement across key areas such as communication, workplace clarity, recognition, and support for mental health. Principal Patrick Dean thanked the participants, noting the results will provide valuable information to help shape positive and productive organizational culture. Aggregated findings will be released in the coming months, with anonymized faculty-level results also shared to guide future planning. On a broader Kingston front, the 2026 Mayor's Innovation Challenge is inviting post-secondary students, including Queen's University attendees, to submit innovative project proposals that could improve the quality of life for Kingston residents. Submissions, in the form of a 2 to 3 minute video, are due by March 6th, with finalists pitching to a panel of municipal and entrepreneurship leaders on March 20th. Winners may receive up to $10,000 to develop their ideas, access to the Queen's Founders and Innovators Initiative, QFII, with seed funding potential, and compete further for larger prize pools. An information session was held on February 10th in Mitchell Hall Events Commons to guide prospective entrants. Also, in athletic news, Queen's University cheerleading captured the Collegiate National Championship at the Cheer Canada Nationals on February 23, 2026, the program's first national title in 18 years. The Gaels scored 82.3 out of 100 points in a tightly contested field. Three team members were also named to the national team, highlighting individual achievements alongside the team victory. I have been Henry Walker, bringing you your Queen's Campus Beat here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Thank you for listening.
This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. We begin with Monday, March 2nd. Chilly day here in the city of Kingston. Daytime high of minus 7, feeling closer to minus 9. Mix of sun and cloud. Weather is going to warm up starting Tuesday, March 3rd. High of 0, feels just a little colder than that with the wind chill. Sunny conditions again. Wednesday, March 4th, we are going to finally creep above 0. 1 degree, feeling closer to 2 degrees in the sunshine. Overnight low of just minus 2. Thursday, March 5th, daytime high of 3 degrees, but with the wind and rain in the forecast, it is going to feel quite a bit colder, around minus 7 or so. Friday, March 6th, we've got a possibility of rain slash freezing rain in the forecast. Daytime high of 2, overnight low of minus 5. And then moving into the weekend, the warmest weather for the year so far, Saturday, March 7th, daytime high of 6 degrees with a little bit of rain forecasted in the afternoon. Sunday, March 8th, 8 degrees with about a 70% chance of precipitation during the day. And then Monday, March 9th, this is not a typo, daytime high of 11 degrees, double digits at last. And it's going to feel like 11 degrees, cloudy but no wind chill, rain, snow, or precipitation in the forecast. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. And here's a quick note on overnight street parking in the City of Kingston. As of Sunday, March 1st, overnight street parking restrictions have been eased. Overnight street parking is now only banned on nights when the weather conditions require it. So keep an eye on the forecast if you plan on parking overnight downtown. In terms of road closures, Berry Street to Queen Street is closed indefinitely for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. On Tuesday, March 3rd, from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., King Street East from Clarence to Johnson Street will be closed for construction-related activity at 285 Queen Street. And Aberdeen Street from Johnson to William is closed indefinitely to accommodate construction activity and staging in the area. That's a wrap for this week's traffic report. Until next time, drive safe, everyone.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.